Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. All unqualified praise is due to Allah. Thumma alhamdulillah. And after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Alhamdulillah, الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن التقويم. All praise is due to Allah, who created the human being in the most excellent mold. وبعث نبيين مباشرين ومنذرين, and commissioned from among them messengers, as bringers of good news and as warners. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. We bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment. There is no object of worship except Allah. له الملك. His is the kingdom. وله الحمد. To him is due all unqualified praise. بيده الخير. In his hand is all good. وهو على كل شيء قدير. And he has power over all things. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. And we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment, that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave servant and his messenger. بعثه في الأميين. Allah raised him up from among the unlettered. رسول منهم يعلو عليهم آياته. A messenger from among them, reciting or showing them how to follow the guidance of the signs of God. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and purifying them. وَيُعَلِمُهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةُ, and teaching them the book and the wisdom. وَيُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, and drawing them out of the darkness into the light. وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. While before that, they were in obvious, open, and evident straying. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. O Allah, send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, wa ala alihi, and upon his family, wa ashabihi, and upon his companions, ajma'een, all of them. Wa ya ayyuhal muslimun, as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. May the peace, mercy, and blessing of Allah be upon you. Wa jumu'ah mubarak. Amma ba'da, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم فالصالحات قانتات حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. This is the first portion of the 34th ayah of verse of the fourth chapter, Surah An-Nisa, the fourth chapter entitled The Women. But we got audio in here. I can't manage whatever's going on out there. I'm not going to stop talking because it's not going out. That's what y'all are supposed to do. All right? And we continue. Men are those who fulfill their responsibilities to women by rightfully recognizing the reciprocal favors that Allah has given one over the other and by spending for their maintenance from their wealth. So the righteous women are devoutly obedient to Allah, guarding in the husband's absence what Allah would have them guard. And Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. The hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he reported, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every one of you is a shepherd and is responsible for his flock. The leader of people is a guardian and he will be questioned on that responsibility. A man is the guardian of his family and he will be questioned on his responsibility for them. A woman is the guardian of the home and the children and she is responsible for them. The servant of a man is a guardian of the property of the owner and he is responsible for it. No doubt, every one of you is a shepherd and is responsible for his flock. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today we begin another series. We consider ourselves as having, let's just call it, come to a conclusion from a serial perspective on the signs in Sajda. I will say to you that in terms of the want to really say, okay, I got all the pieces that were delivered on the subject of the signs in Sajda, you will need to have, I mean, for that completeness, there's a completeness if you just have this, the sections 1 through 8 for what we did here in Jummah, but every Saturday for each one of those Jummah, there is a blog talk broadcast where we elaborate on some things in a way that we couldn't elaborate on during a Jummah. So those pieces should also be considered parts of a total grasp of what was delivered in toto for signs in Sajda. So that means get the Saturday blog talk broadcast and the Jummahs for that period of time, which in actuality means that the totality would be something on the order of 16 or 17. So there's some minor overlap and reiteration, but there are some things that I elaborated on Saturdays that we don't get to cover on Friday. So just to finalize that, yes, we've finished for this period of time the signs in Sajda. Today is the introduction of another series, and the opening title for this is Manhood and the Degeneration of Masculinity in Modern Times. Manhood and the Degeneration of Masculinity in Modern Times. Allahu Alam. We pray Allah help us on this. As always, it's so significant, but then it's a subject that has, well, for Bilalians especially, there's some tender points in it. So we're not going to move away from them, at least in such a way that would constitute a denial or a failure to recognize it, because that wouldn't be serving the purpose. So I'm just acknowledging the fact that sometimes for us, when I say us in this case, I'm saying Bilalians, African Americans, for those who don't understand that phraseology. Bilalians means people of African descent living in the Western Hemisphere. That includes the Caribbean, that includes, you know, America, North America, South America, all those people who have that look. Okay. Now, I need to mention a part of what motivates this. Part of what motivates it is, of course, the mass shootings. That's kind of prime for the mass shootings. I also heard, I know there were some other things, but this reinforced it. A very good friend and brother of mine, who's one of the leaders in the community, on his Facebook page sort of opened himself up and spoke in a way that literally said he didn't detail what had happened, but apparently something happened very tragic in his family. And so just in the nature of his speech and presentation, it seems to me that someone may have been tragically killed in his family recently. And it's the idea that, you know, I'm tired of this, keeps happening, and why do we do this to it? What makes it easy for us to do this kind of thing to each other so easily, right? That's one thing. And there are other things that they're going to come up, inshallah, in the course of it. So it's not like out of the blue. Let's say, why this, why now? Because really, the whole Trump base, alt-right, that, mass shootings, all those things have a foundation different than the one that we are conditioned to focus on. And let me go ahead and mention that as a first premise. Identifying race, religion, and mental illness as the causes of the mass shootings falls short of the reality. These are only symptoms and rationalizations of their root causes. The sources of the motivations for these acts of seemingly senseless violence are the socio-economic and anthropological consequences of unguided masculinity. So what we see in the headlines and the rationale that's given for it, it has to do with race, it has to do with hate, it has to do with bigotry, meaning that that's what it is. Hate did that. Racism did that. Bigotry did that. Religion did that. Those are symptoms and rationalizations of a cause that most people in the world are not paying attention to, and we haven't been conditioned to pay attention to it. Let me mention this from the Quran, and I did say this is an introduction. So one of the things that I'm coming to learn to do, or I'm comfortable with doing, is say, hey, look, you just got to say what you got to say to lay down that particular brick that day, and then when you come back next week, then put the next brick on top of that. So don't leave a lot of air in the bricks that you lay down, because they may get broke down when you put another brick on top of it. Now maybe somebody understands what I just said. I do. Okay. So here's the thing. I want you to really feel a Quranic connection in what I'm saying. because it's there. When God said in the Quran, إِنِّي جَعِلُ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, I am making in the earth a khalifa. And then the angel said, what? Will you create something that would cause mischief and bloodshed? Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, nevertheless, I know what you don't know. Okay. He didn't say that this khalifa would not cause mischief and bloodshed. He just said, I know what you don't know. You're looking at it from your perspective. And from your perspective and your interpretation of someone with the freedom that comes to your mind when I say I'm making Khalifatul Ard, you don't trust it. You don't trust that it should have that kind of power, because who knows how to handle that kind of power. And so they didn't trust, based on what they thought they knew, that creature. It wasn't that they didn't trust God. They didn't trust that creature, which is man, human beings. So part of it is, yes, human beings do cause mischief and bloodshed, but that's not all that human beings do. Right? The 20th century is said to be like the bloodiest century in human history. World War I, World War II, two atomic bombs dropped on one nation, a small nation for that matter as well. But that small nation was doing a lot of stuff, but that's another part of history. And everything else that goes with the 20th century. How many assassinations happened in the 20th century? Civil rights movement, all these other things that had in them violence and bloodshed. And, you know, you got Vietnam War, Korean conflict, you know, all the other things. And we were on the brink of nuclear war with the Cuban Missile Crisis. I mean, they had put the keys in the console. You know, you had to put two keys. They got to be in there at the same time. And the next thing to do is turn the key. We've been there, you know? So, mashallah. So that's 20th century. But alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. We thank Allah that he protects us from ourselves. But the point is that there's something in our human nature that also responds to the shar. Shar means the evil potential in our nature. It's also the, when I say evil potential, I didn't say our evil nature, the evil potential. Khair and shar. Khair is a potential for excellence. Shar is a potential for harm and evil. So Allah has given us a propensity to overcome even our own evil. And but that not without his grace, according to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, said the human soul, inna nafsa la'amaratu bisu'a ila bima rahma rabbi. Surely the human soul, nafsa la'amaratu, in that state is inclined to evil, except for the one who receives the mercy from their Lord. Okay, and so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, that's a part of what, quote unquote, he, Allah said, I know what you don't know. Now, so these qualities that bring this potential harm, or that bring the actual harm in the lives of society and lives of individuals, they are products of the way human nature works in its different states and stages. There are stages. I mentioned nafs al-amarat. Nafs al-amarat, that's a stage. Nafs al-awama, that's a stage. Nafs al-mutma'inna, that's a stage. And while I talk about that as a stage from an individual perspective, that happening to the plurality of human beings as members of a society, there's a lot more than just me and my nafs al-amarat. Because you have your nafs al-amarat, you have your nafs al-lawama, you have your nafs al-mutma'inna, and we don't all get there at the same time. So a nafs al-amarat may run into a nafs al-lawama, and they have an interaction, and that interaction may dictate something, or no doubt will dictate something. And in each case, it's going to call for a response. There's going to be an action and a reaction between those two human beings. Now, sometimes we do the right thing, sometimes we do the wrong thing, right? What is right and what is wrong is also dictated by the situation. Sometimes we may think the right thing to do and do it, and it turns out to be what? The wrong thing. And sometimes we refuse to do what we think, nah, that ain't right, but that would have been the right thing to do. I mentioned about khayr and shar. Khayr is what is included in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَبِكُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Strive always after the khayrat. Strive always after what is best under the circumstances. This khayr is also part of our nature, as I mentioned. Okay, so when these two human beings encounter each other and they have to decide what's the right thing to do in this situation that we find ourselves in, then the answer is, for the one who follows God, فَاسْتَبِكُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. The answer is, what constitutes the best thing to do in this situation? See, so that should tell you that the Muslim, the believer, is required to think, is required to not be reactive, is required to not have knee-jerk responses to things as that they're faced with, because that's not responding in the best possible way, and I should say in all cases. So what happens in that dynamic? Well, that just that one example, but multiply that example in today's world hundreds of millions of times, you know, I could say billions actually. When you look at history, what that has done is you react to me, I react to you. All right? Good comes out of that. If good comes out of that, then now we're operating on a higher level. But then at that higher level, new conflicts come in. Reconciliation has to happen at some point, meaning what's the best way forward from here. That ultimately what prevails, and so now it moves to another level. But then the conflict happens now at a higher level, which requires a higher level of thinking to deal with what is now a more complex situation. But the situation itself is calling forth from the nature of those involved a higher order of thinking. And that pressure, bringing out that pressure, problem-solving pressure, brings out of some of those human beings, some human being or some of those human beings in the conflict say, well, no, we got to solve it this way. That way doesn't work. Sometimes it takes centuries, sometimes it takes millennia, but at some point, oh, okay, this is what we got to do. See if this can be grasped this way. Pharaoh used to be the way of the order of things, meaning pyramid, the Cheopsian model. One guy on top, everybody else on the bottom. So all y'all, everybody answer to me. I have all the authority, y'all have no authority. Right? Go down through history, you'll see different changes in the form of government. Right? And fast forward where you have whatever, you have the lords, you have fiefdom, serfdom, then you have kings and queens, you know, monarchy, right? And you also had the papacy, meaning the hierarchical order of the church, religious authority, etc. And you have all the history that comes as a result of that way of doing and that way of being. So When you add to that the United States, the Republic, the 1776, the Republic, that was established on the words, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That was an unprecedented decision in the history of man to decide this is the way that we're going to govern. It's not going to be like Pharaoh. It's not going to be like the Pope. It's not going to be like the monarchy. It's going to be a republic. What does that have to do with? That has to do with the decision as how are we going to operate in our civilization? How are we going to operate in our society? That was a decision that was made 2.25, 2.5 round figures centuries ago. And mashallah, it, quote unquote, it seems to be working out at large and with all the sharr that's involved. I'm not ignoring any of that, but that's just not the subject. Considering all the sharr involved, I think most people, for whatever reason is chosen, would rather be here than most any place else in the world. Despite the beauty and the beast quality, the Jekyll and Hyde quality of America. Well, you want to know something? That's life. That's life. Right now, there are people who are living in situations where you might look at that situation and say, man, I would not tolerate that. I would not. Well, you kind of have to be there. You kind of have to be there. You can say what you would or would not do, but you have to really know what that situation actually is. And you might get a greater empathy for the person in that situation deciding to stay in that situation as compared to what they see as the alternative. All right. The main purpose of speaking to that in that way is I want us to get into the frame of mind that there is a natural, put that in quotes, natural foundation, academic term for it, substrate. There's something that runs under the way societies come to be, the way they come to be. And what runs under it is human nature. Human nature. Sometimes human nature is guided. Sometimes human nature is misguided. Sometimes human nature is guided. Sometimes human nature is misguided. So we have some civilizations that are on foundations that are human. Hard to find. I mean, if you ask me to name it right now, I'm sorry, I can't. But I got to assume that somewhere, I mean, it's truly grounded in human foundation. But the human nature is still there. But in terms of an overt, look, okay, let's make it easier. Spain, Al-Andalus, Spain, okay, that is reputed for 600 years of quote-unquote Islamic civilization, right? And whatever exists right now in the quote-unquote American Republic has only existed for 2.5 years, and certain aspects of it is on life support, period. All you got to do is look at how did he get there? It's like, you mean y'all chose this guy? So it's like, yeah, okay. That's a sign of where we are as far as that. But that's after just 250 years. So more than three times, round figures, you know, nearly three times, as long civilization existed there, that's superior to what's only been existing here for, quote unquote, 250 years or so. Why? Because it was grounded on the original human nature and guided by the revelation of God and the model of the prophet. So that's basically why, that's basically where you got to go to see it again. You look around the planet right now, you ain't gonna find that. Okay? So this is why our project is to bring that back. Not necessarily that even. To manifest that for this time. Okay? وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٍ يَدْعُنَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. Let there arise out of you an ummah. That's what that means. It means establish a civilization that is grounded on what Allah has revealed and in accordance with the original human nature. That's what ummah is for. That's what ummah is about. So, absent that, that's where we should understand our work to be. We've chosen to speak of manhood and the degeneration of masculinity in modern times. So, the opening verse that we started with, الرجال قوامون أعوذ بالله الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم فالصالحات قانتات حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله. And again, صدق الله العظيم. Men are those who fulfill their responsibilities to women by rightfully recognizing the reciprocal favors that Allah has given one over the other and by spending for their maintenance from their wealth. So righteous women are devoutly obedient to Allah, guarding in the husband's absence what Allah would have them guard. صدق الله العظيم. All right. So, as we speak to this, then we're speaking about that foundation. We want to understand, well, what is correct according to what Allah has revealed, and Allah knows best. What is correct? And then once you see what is correct, inshallah, it will give you a way of understanding what is deviated. Okay? If a person is, let's say, repairing some equipment, right? Then if they know how it's supposed to be constructed, so somebody invites them in and says, look, I need you to take a look at this, fix this up for me, it ain't working. If the person knows how it's supposed to be constructed, just not even the question about how it works, but it's just like, let me look at it. Look at it, and then they have in their mind a map up to, okay, this is what it looks like when it's right. So I'm looking at it. I could be looking at a book or a blueprint or what have you. Okay, now let me look at yours. So that, oh, you know what? This dongle that's supposed to be right here, doing this right here, you don't have no dongle right there. Your dongle is gone. How much that cost? Let me go back to the shop. I'll check it out and let you know. That's what I'm trying to do for us. How is it, what is the proper relationship between men and women according to God? Then when we look at the bad things happening in our lives, in our families, extended in the society, that would be an explanation for, oh, this is why that is like that. Because the men are not being what they should be as men, and the women are not being what they should be as women, and as a result, the reciprocal dynamic, mutually influencing relationship of a healthy man and a healthy woman, that's not happening. And because it's not happening, all this other stuff is happening. You know, there's a star connected. Zainab, you know I love you. So you already know I'm about to say something that could potentially affect you. And that is, you know, one of the stars of the movie, It, is the brother of our own Zainab Nasir, brother Isaiah Mustafa. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We got another movie star, the Yahya Abdul Mateen II. He's also a star in the Aquaman piece. And others. Okay. Now, having said that, don't go see the movie if you have no way of managing what is called horror. I'm about to say something, but I'm saying, I got to go see it. No, maybe, you know. You might not be able to manage it, but if you can approach it, if you can look at it in a academic kind of way, you know, then maybe you'll be all right. Well, that's all I can tell you. You grown folks, you gonna do whatever you gonna do anyway, but it wasn't because I didn't tell you. Now, other thing, I would say without the benefit of what we will say, and I'm not detailing it today. If you have adolescent boys and older, I would say it's okay if the intention is for them to get an understanding once they take it in about it. Taking this time to say that my read of the movie is about masculinity. It's about masculinity. In its diseased and in its corrected form. It shows examples of this is the problem of masculinity in the world today. And since Stephen King has a profile in that, he does like Spike Lee and Alfred Hitchcock, where, you know, he usually will show up somewhere in a movie that's based on his stuff, so I didn't know for sure, but I think he's the author. If anybody happens to know that, then you can let me know. But he has a quote unquote big cameo in that, so I say, okay, well, it's probably his book, probably his material. He's also the one that did, and I recommended it before, but I'll do it again. The Needful Things. If you really want to see a movie about how Shaitan works, that's the movie. If you really want to see a movie of how Iblis comes into existence and operates, if you got 3 hours, then watch Amadeus. Amadeus. You really want to Iblis? Oh, okay. That's how a human being can move from Iblis to Shaitan. But you got to have 3 hours to go through it. Now, having said all that, masculinity, see, people who make movies, they are leaders for the society. Sometimes you have good ones, sometimes you have bad ones. Some pushing one side of the agenda, and others are pushing the other side of the agenda. I think this pushes the side of the agenda that said, look, there's another one now. Quentin Tarantino and Django, with all of the, you know, Kill Bill kind of blood thing that's going on in there, it is really telling Bilalians about this is your problem, and this will be the solution. Not the killing, all that surface stuff. It's the psychological message beneath it. That's the hidden message that's packaged for those who have an eye. And that's the art in it, and that's the quote-unquote potential leadership in it. Now, so I say that to say that the problem in the world right now is unguided masculinity. And I'll say, I don't subscribe to the language toxic toxic masculinity, which you're going to, you'll find a lot of that in the language and in the writing, the articles and what have you. Toxic masculinity, that's the problem. Nipsey Hussle got killed. That's another example of toxic masculinity, blah, blah, blah. No. Toxic masculinity, it would be like saying toxic humanity. Toxic humanity. There is no toxic humanity. There's only humanity. And there's humanity that's guided, and there's humanity that's not guided. And when humanity is not guided, that humanity, quote unquote, will do things that are not aligned with the will of God for the human being. But you don't blame that on humanity. You blame that on whoever and whatever misguided those people. The nature is excellent. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ. I made you right. Your parents took you off the track. This is hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All right, so then the verse says, الرِّجَالَ قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. Remember, there's a model of the way it's supposed to be, and then you have to look at the way it's supposed to be and see if, when you look at the problem, where's the mismatch between the blueprint and the practice. If there's a mismatch between the blueprint and the practice, the problem is not in the blueprint, the problem is in the practice. If my car is not working, it's not because the manual is wrong. No, there's something disconnected and misconnected in my automobile. And what's the repair? The repair is put it back in order. So today, mashallah, we'll only be able to just start. And for this portion of the khutbah, to conclude with the idea, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. Men, actually, let's be specific. الرِّجَالُ, the men. Definite article, specifically. And when Allah speaks about whatever He speaks about, if Allah said Muslim, He don't mean Muslim the way you and I mean Muslim. We're, hey, Muslim, what's going on? Muslim, what's that, Muslim? No, we say it like that. Hey, partner, what's up, partner? Everything good, partner? Hey, what's up, bro? What's up, ah? No, so when we say Muslim, we have a very... common informal treatment of. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Muslim, He means one who has established the five pillars of Al-Islam in their life. What does the Prophet say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Buni al-Islamu al-Khams. The structure of Al-Islam. What is Muslim? Muslim is one who practices Al-Islam. Muslim. Mu, active participle. One who actively practices Al-Islam. What is Al-Islam? Shahadatay, Salat, Zakat, Saum, Hajj. Have those been established in your life? If they haven't been established in your life, you don't even have a foundation to actually call yourself in the most formal way Muslim. But we have submitted. When we say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, that means that we have submitted. But it means you're just getting started. Shahadatayn, okay, I got that covered. What's next? No, you're just getting started. All right. So, الرجال, Allah is saying, the men, the man that I have in mind, he, they, قوامون على النساء. They establish women. They protect women. They support women. They have proof that a woman can depend on them. You know what I'm saying? If I want to, it's like, I can't lean on this right here. I lean on it, it's going down, period. So I can't lean on this. So this little piece right here is not قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى الْإِمَامِ. This cannot support the imam.
But الرجال قوامون على النساء, it means that a woman can depend on you. That a woman can be supported by you. See, now if this was like concrete or something like that, or bolted in the ground, would definitely have to have thicker pieces of wood, then I can lean on it. What do you call that? If I can lean on it, integrity. See, if it has no integrity, I can't lean on it. I can't depend on it. When that is used, when that statement, الرجال قوامون على النساء, when that becomes the definition of manhood, and that's what it is. God, you ask God, Quran, you ask God, God, what is a man? And Quran speaks back, الرجال قوامون على النساء. That's the answer. So women and a woman's ability to testify to your integrity and to you being dependable is the evidence of your manhood. Last word for this portion. It says, بِمَا فَضْلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Then God goes on to explain. How do they do that? They do that by reciprocally respecting the nature of the woman, the nature of the man, the reciprocal rights and duties that go with that or are inhering in that design, and they spend out of their resources for the woman.
رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. O Allah, let not our hearts deviate now to your guidance aright, and grant us the mercy from your own presence, for surely you are the grant of abundance without measure. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Bismillah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I'd like to reiterate that this is just the introduction of the series that for today is under the title Manhood and the Degeneration of Masculinity in Modern Times. Back to the movie It, mentioning the movie It, which again I reiterate, if you got any pre-adolescent children, anything, don't go see it. If you have a problem with quote unquote, they call them whatever, horror flicks, scary flicks, whatever, don't go. Okay, that's all I'll say about that. So, one of the key lines in the movie, which reinforces what I'm trying to make a point of here, is it says that everything has to obey the law of the shape that it inhabits. That was the key to solving the whole problem. Everything has to obey the law of the shape that it inhabits. That's Quran. How so, brother? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to us in the Quran when Moses and Aaron were addressed by Fir'aun, Pharaoh said, and who is the Lord of you two? This God you're talking about, because I know no other God but myself, Pharaoh, right?
Who is this God you're talking about? هو الذي أتعه كل شيء خلقه ثم هدى. This is Moses asking him. Remember, I said if we ask God, what is a man? And then God said, الرجال قوامون على النساء. So Pharaoh asked Moses, who is this God of you two? And Moses responds, he is the one who gave everything its form and thereby its guidance. What does it mean? That the guidance is in the form. The guidance is in the form. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Is it a man's form or is it a woman's form? If it's a man's form, well, then you got your marching orders. Because your form tells you what you're supposed to be doing, and it tells you what you're not supposed to be doing. MashaAllah. I was sitting in the parking lot before I went into the movie. I know y'all think, hey, man, this cat always in the movie, right? Well, that's my job, man. Somebody got to tell you what's going on out there, right? So, I'm sitting in the car. I got there rarely, just a little bit early. Okay, so I saw a group of youngsters, you know, like, they weren't Bilalian, so I won't do that, but I want you to be clear. They're not Bilalian. I just feel the need to give us all the breaks we can possibly get, so they were not Bilalian. Every break is a good one. So four of them, right? So they came from one way. The theater's there. They came from another way. First thing I'm trying to figure out, what they doing coming from all the way that way, movie this way, and you coming to a car right here. Okay, so I let that alone, but now all my reticular activating security system is up, so let me see what they up to. So I'm sitting in the car, and so they go to the side, and they have a little chat, you know, certain of them, you know, normal, you know, doing this. So then the one that seemed to be the alpha, that word is going to come back later, but the one that seemed to be the alpha, you know, all the rest of them seem to be like following in his wake, you know, in that sense. So it's like you can see the way somebody moved in a group. Oh, okay, that's the alpha, that's the lieutenant. You know what I'm saying? You can see that. All right. So I go back to whatever it is that I was doing. Then I say, okay, why are they still standing by the car? Oh, okay. Then the alpha brings out one of those e-cigarettes, you know, that's killing people today, right? Especially youngsters. So he take a puff on you. He's cool, right? Alpha, cool. So one little pup's with him, let me try that. So Alpha said, I'm going to initiate you into the thing, right? So he passed it to him. The little youngster, he takes it. You know, he goes, no, I don't hear any other conversation about it. You know, it's just like, that's your body telling you, what the hell are you doing? Get that schnizzle out of here. And it happens with our first drink of alcohol. It happens with our first cigarette. It happens with the first thing that we steal. You know how much you were sweating. Okay, some of y'all never stole anything. Not even a piece of cake that your mama told you you can't have after the party. I know. So for all you angels in here, it don't relate to you. But for those of us who kind of travel that normal path, it's sort of like, oh man, I shouldn't be doing this. What's telling you that? Your body's telling you that. Why are you sweating? Why are you shaking? Why are you looking all around to see who's looking? Your body's saying, this ain't right. Now, as low level as that example is, the point is here that our body is the guidance. So when it comes to masculinity and femininity, the male body is to have masculine priorities. The female body is to have feminine priorities. And so God gives us these, gives us the broad outlines to tell you, for starters, being a man means having responsibility for a woman. And the man is the one who handles that responsibility with integrity and upon standards. That's what qawwamun means, standards. What are your standards for the way you treat your women? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, surely the best among you is the one who is best in the treatment of their wives. And I'm the best in the treatment of my wives. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, to marry is my sunnah, and whoever does not marry is not of me. So he says, who does not marry in that instance, understand this. It doesn't mean that you aren't married. So if you aren't married, you're not of the prophets, Jama'at. No. If you reject the institution of marriage, you are not of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maybe you say, I ain't ready to get married right now. Okay, good, that's intelligent. Okay, but do you recognize that there's a responsibility in order to fulfill the ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisaa'i definition? You got to have a woman. And not just that, Quran, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he who is our model, he said, the universe is filled with mad'un. So the world is filled with mad'un, ad-dunya. The world, meaning your life in this society, the near life, is filled with mad'un. That means entertainment and utility. Wa khayru mad'un al-marratu salihat. That salihat comes up in the reading that we gave. Is a righteous woman. God's messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do you want to experience Allah's greatest blessing for you in this world? Get you a righteous woman. Now if this was a church, I'd say, can I get an amen? But this ain't a church, so just say it in your heart. Because I'm telling you, anybody that's got one, say, man, oh man, what did I do to deserve this? Nothing. It's just the grace of Allah. Watch this. We're done. This is only an introduction. Watch this. Because I said in initiating this subject matter, I said, identifying race, religion, mental illness as the causes of mass shootings falls short of the reality. They are symptoms and rationalizations of their root causes. The sources of the motivations for these acts of seemingly senseless violence are the socioeconomic and anthropological consequences of unguided masculinity. It's important at this point, because of this. You've heard the language natural selection. You've heard that language, natural selection. So you think about Darwin when you think about natural selection. Now there have been lies that are told in the name of Darwin, all of which we reject. But there is science in evolution. Evolution is a reality. Whether you reject the Darwinian idea of it and all the other things, that's fine. But I'm saying you don't really have an Islamic leg to stand on to reject Darwin. Darwin didn't say man from monkey. Somebody else took that and made it man from monkey. He didn't say that. but I'm not talking about that in further detail. But there is natural selection. There is natural selection. And explicitly, take those two words. Nature selects. When we talk about nature, do we identify it as masculine or feminine? It's not nice to... Yeah, some of y'all are old enough to remember that one, right? It's not nice to fool Mother Nature. Some people learn that the hard way, too. So, nature selects, Mother Nature, the feminine. I just said, if you have that righteous woman, what did you do to earn it? I said nothing. You know, you did something. But she chose you. I know you think, you said, yeah, man, I chose that. Yeah, okay. No. She chose you. How can you say that, bro? Okay, this is how nature works, which is emblematic, personified by the feminine. When a woman chooses to come into an intimate time relationship with a man, it's because she sees that he's in relationship to her. In the scheme of things, in relationship to men, that is the scale of men. I guess I can only say as much as I can say. In everybody's head, we walk around with scales in our head. Not fish scales, balancing scales. And we're measuring stuff all the time. There's not enough time to say what I wanted. But one of the things that gets measured is where is he and where is she in the hierarchy. A woman measures us up. As soon as you show up, it don't take but a few seconds. Beyond the physical, and then maybe your first two sentences of conversation with her, you either been checked in or you've been checked out from that time. She might finish her virgin pina colada, whatever. You know, I don't want to take y'all to the places that none of y'all go. You wouldn't even understand what I'm talking about. Because women select from the upper echelon, an echelon that's equal to where she is in the hierarchy and above. If you are lower than her, according to her measure of the hierarchy, you ain't got a chance. You ain't got a chance. So, she knows what her attributes are, and she knows what the attributes are of those that are in the upper echelon of the hierarchy that you participate in. And so she looks at herself by whatever that measure is, and then she looks at you. If you don't measure up, she's moving on. That's just reality. So that's how men get chosen. If she accepts because in the scale that she found you in, you were higher on the scale, or you were at least equal or higher on the scale than whatever the other options were out there. I'm just talking anthropologically. You know? And so therefore, I do, you're married, and you go on, right? Men, on the other hand, men select from equal and down. And one of the reasons from equal and down is because the ones that's above, they're not going to give you time of day. So you already know, nature already tells you, don't even mess around, man, you're going to be wasting a whole lot of time over there, okay? Now, I know I'm taking a little more time, but I don't want to leave too much open. But let's go ahead and mention this, and I think this will make that point well enough to come back later, the next time as this continues. In April, A man who did not know Landon, who was a little boy, 5-year-old boy. In April, a man who did not know Landon or his family grabbed the boy and threw him nearly 40 feet to the ground of the third-story balcony in the Mall of America in Bloomington, Minnesota. That man, 25-year-old Emmanuel Aranda, was charged with attempted premeditated murder in the April 12th incident. He pleaded guilty in May and was sentenced to 19 years in prison. Aranda allegedly told investigators he went to the mall looking for someone to kill after past instances of women repeatedly rejecting his advances. He was so tired of being rejected by women that he said, I just got to kill somebody. So he went to the mall to kill somebody because of the way that he was offended and how he was not accepted by the women. So he grabs the child and just throws it off. Misguided masculinity. Brothers and sisters, do you think there are a lot of men out there that are tired of being rejected by women because they don't measure up? Do you think that the world is not really getting much better in that regard when you have women advancing and progressing in the scheme of things with education, employment, this and that? So the standards are going up and the opportunities are going down for men to go up. So the gap between the woman and the man in that natural selection choice scenario, do you think there's a big pool of anger and frustration and really homicidal sensibilities out there? Yeah. And so I speak about that from the perspective of relationship, but those mass shootings are for the same reason. More on that later, but the mass shootings are for the same reason. Because there's a white supremacist, better said, a white male supremacist master narrative that decides the hierarchy in this world. And if you can't, now you got to think Caucasian now. This is what I'm saying. Think Caucasian now. So, you know, you think about some of them good old boys. You know, I'm just saying this. I'm not trying to be mean, but you just somebody like rednecks, you know, that I'm trying to get you the language, right? And when you look at the transition of the economy, technology, the globalization of everything, jobs going offshore from this place, that place, and when violence is tied to the lack of opportunity to move up that hierarchy, being rejected for jobs and income and being able to take care of yourself is in the same function as someone going, trying to get a woman and being rejected by that woman, and he gets tired of being rejected to the point where I'm gonna go kill somebody. So if somebody can convince those people, you know why you don't have no opportunity? It's them Mexicans. You know why you don't have no opportunity? It's them Muslims. You know why you don't have no opportunity? It's them gays. Go kill somebody. Kill a lot of them. They got websites for this stuff. For us as Muslims, the answer is we have to be Muslims and believers and in a hurry. رَبَّنَا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. O Allah, give us the excellent things in this world and the excellent things in the world to come, and save us from the chastisement of the fire. Allahu la ilaha illa hu al-hayyul qayyum la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fil ard man zal ladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi idhnihi ya'lamu ma bayna aydihim wa ma khalfahum wa la yuhitun bi shay'in min 'ilmihi illa bima sha'a wasi'a kursiyyuhu as-samawati wal ard wa la ya'uduhu hifdhuhuma wa huwa 'aliyyul 'azhim. Allahumma salli 'ala Muhammad wa 'ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita 'ala Ibrahim wa 'ala ali Ibrahim wa barik 'ala Muhammad wa 'ala ali Muhammad kama baraka على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. O Allah, we thank you for your divine grace, power, mercy, blessings, guidance and protection. We pray that you would increase us in ilm, ihsan, iman, ibadah, huda, hukma, taqwa and sabr. O Allah, give us mates and offspring that will be beautiful in our eyes, and give us the grace to be examples for righteous people. O Allah, purify us in our intention, purify us in our thinking, purify us in our way of living. Bless us to understand the world that we live in a way that you would have us understand it. Bless us to act in the world in the way that you would have us act. Bless us to be the best possible Muslim and believer that we can possibly be. Forgive us our errors and our shortcomings, and guide us to the best. Guide us to the path nearer even than we are. We pray your aid and assistance in all things, for without your help there is no help. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. والحمد لله رب العالمين. Alhamdulillah, tomorrow, inshallah, the Islamic Studies is presenting free brunch and film, The Legend of Hook Mitchell. That's going to be 11 a.m.